show continues. Here's Phil.
Thank you. And thank you, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That was Bobby Dooley, who was on stage with us in San Francisco at the Sketch Fest, and there will be more of her in the coming year.
Oh, goody, goody gumdrops.
Well, I mean, you know, Margaret. Margaret, you've had your moment in the sun, and now it's her turn. That's right. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and 855-500-7445. So let's see, a couple things to, first of all, I mentioned Ralph Kiner. I say that with great respect because there's a lot of New York Met fans out there, and they do remember Ralph Kiner as a play-by-play guy. He was a baseball player as well at one time. He played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was a smash as a slugger, launching so many homers over the left field wall of Old Forbes Field that fans nicknamed it his corner. It was called Kiner's Corner. Years later, as one of baseball's most beloved broadcasters, he became a big hit in a new Kiner's Corner show, which he did for New York Met fans on radio and TV. Mr. Kiner, the Hall of Famer whose frequent malaprops endeared him to New York Mets listeners for more than half a century, died Thursday. Died out in Rancho Mirage, Margaret.
Oh, yes. All right. So, yes, there's a couple of the folks that live out there that are baseball players.
Yeah, there's a lot of major leaguers that retired out to the desert.
Now, who was the major leaguer, Phil, that you knew?
Well, hold on. Let me have some...
but then I want to get... didn't you know one?
I didn't know any major leaguers. I didn't know any. But my father-in-law knew and golfed with a few of them. But,
Well, let's hear the story, because we know that you're going to want to say it and tell it and go on and on about it.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Well, then I won't say it and tell it.
Well, you know you're going to want to.
No, I won't. No, I will not. I mentioned Rancho Mirage.
Yeah, well, you said, oh, Margaret, it's Rancho Mirage, and you were nodding your head, and there was some spit forming on the corner of your mouth because you were anticipating telling your Larry Lujack.
Johnny Lujack.
He ain't a baseball player. He played hockey.
No, he didn't. He played football.
See, you're already telling the story.
No, I'm not telling any story. I'm not telling any story. Anyway, he was a jewel, Mets Hall of Famer Tom Seaver said. The Hall of Fame said Mr. Kiner died at his home in Rancho Mirage with his family at his side. Ralph Kiner hit 369 home runs during a 10-year career, but that was cut short by back problems. He debuted with Pittsburgh in 1946, and he won or tied for the National League in lead in homers in each of his first seven seasons. He was popular off the field. His Hollywood pals included Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. He squired Liz Taylor and Janet Leigh, and he played himself in the 1951 film Angels in the Outfield. Mr. Kiner became a Mets announcer in their expansion season of 1962. He worked 17 years as a trio with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson. Mr. Kiner called their games for 52 years in all, including a handful of them last season. How about that, huh?
Boy, I'll tell you, these ball players, they read. And what about that, who's the guy that Marilyn Monroe?
Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, Joe DiMaggio, you didn't know that?
I don't know baseball. I know football. You know, I followed, my football experience is the West Point team. I follow Army. That's all I care about. And that's all there is to that.
You don't follow no other team?
No, I don't follow any other team.
So you follow the Army football team?
That's it. I could care less about any other team. I don't want to know about any other team. It's all I can do to follow Army. And as you know, as much as my heart belongs to the United States Army, the Army team is as bad as it gets. It's a rotten football team.
God, it's making my voice crack again.
Yeah, General, I was going to say the Army stinks.
Yes, the Army football team is rotten to the core.
Well, I mean, they have that annual game against Navy. You know?
Don't even go there. Don't go. Oh, baby, don't go there.
Oh, because Navy, I think, wins a lot, don't they?
Did Navy win this year?
I told you to stop. Stop now or forever hold your peace. Whenever you mention Navy, you see?
You know what? I'm sorry I brought it up, General, because your voice was doing fine tonight.
Yeah, better go get some water, huh, General?
Yeah, I guess so. Got to kind of him.
Sorry, General.
Yeah, sure.
So, there goes the general. He's going to get some water. Well, don't blame me. You're the guy that makes a career out of loving on Army, man. That game, who could... anyway, we're out of the football season. It's over. It's done. No more football. And now the long wait begins, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, is that right? So, you are one of these football guys and only football.
No, I mean, I like the NHL playoffs. And I've always said this, I like the NHL playoffs. I like the basketball playoffs a little bit. And that's it. And baseball, you know, is okay, but, I can't, you know, it's the long wait for football begins. Anyway, Ralph Kiner has died. Now, you mentioned the desert and the ball players.
See, I knew you'd want to tell the story.
I don't know any baseball players out there. When I went golfing with my father-in-law, he knows there were a couple of old Brooklyn Dodgers out there.
Who?
Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, that the baseball team that the Nets named themselves after.
Yeah, that's the baseball team that the Nets named themselves after. What?
What are you talking about?
Well, the name of the team is Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's right. The name of the team is Brooklyn. They didn't name themselves after the Dodgers. They named themselves after the town. Brooklyn.
Well, is Brooklyn a town?
Used to be, not anymore.
It used to be, not anymore.
Brooklyn used to be separate from New York City. There was New York City and there was Brooklyn. And Brooklyn was incorporated into New York City. It was married to New York City by way of a vote or whatever the hell happened in 1898. That's when Brooklyn became a part of New York City.
Well, then why were they the Brooklyn Dodgers?
Because the Brooklyn Dodgers started as a baseball team before they became a part of New York City. The Brooklyn Dodgers were a baseball team in the 1890s. I think even maybe in the 1880s. They were the Brooklyn Robins. They were the Brooklyn Super Bas.
What's a Super Bar, man?
Yeah, what are these names?
I don't know, and don't ask me to explain. They're weird. But they were the Brooklyn team, and then they became the Dodgers, and that's how they are. All right, now, enough of that swill. But, yeah, so the cat that I met out there was a Brooklyn Dodger guy, and the other cats were football players.
And your father-in-law plays with them out there.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of retired athletes. One of them is, I don't even know if Johnny Lujack is still with us. I suppose we could look that up. But one of them was Johnny Lujack and a few others that are former professional athletes. And they live out there in the desert and they golf. And they have they're still very competitive men. Even though they are elderly men, they are still very competitive. And they get out and they golf every day, even though they're retired. Maybe they put a few bucks on it. Who knows? But for them, that's the, that is their enjoyment. I certainly understand that. What I'm doing, folks, right now is I'm looking up to see if Johnny Lujack is still with us. Yes, he is.
Yes, see, right there. It says Johnny Lujack, born 1925.
So he's going to be 90. He's like 88. He won the 47 Heisman Trophy. He played college football for Notre Dame, played for the Bears. And now, I saw him, he says, he now lives in Belmont, Iowa, and also has a home in Indian Wells, California, hey, where he spends his free time.
He spends his free time golfing, so you weren't lying.
All right, Mr. Leonard, good. Good to know you weren't lying.
Was Phil lying?
About what? What am I supposed to be lying about?
We wanted to verify, and you were not lying.
No, I wasn't lying. Wow, that's insulting.
Oh, Phil, take it easy. You with your stories.
There it is right there. He lives in Bettendorf, Iowa.
Well, what's he doing in Bettendorf, Iowa?
That's where he lives, and he has a home in right there, Indian Wells, California, where he spends his time golfing. And we wrote this here so that no one can call Phil Hendry a liar. There. How about that? Yeah. We're going to be back here with more on the Olympics in Russia, including a ban on liquids, gels, and hair mousse. I'm kidding. And also the Taliban kidnapped a dog. I don't know what that's about, and I don't think it's funny. Look, it's bad enough when humans are brutal to each other, but when we are suddenly so sadistic and disgusting and lacking in any kind of humanism and humanity that we are cruel to animals, it's a new low. Because they are dumb animals, they don't know what's happening to them, and now the Taliban have put this dog on television. And I can well imagine if that dog is an American, is from an American unit, or any unit that animal is from, I can well imagine the individuals that work with that dog being pretty upset because there's a good deal of closeness between the soldier and their dog in that situation, and there's a lot of training that goes into, educating getting those animals to act the function that you want them to carry out. So with the Taliban standing there on TV, having this dog on a leash, and the dog looks a little frightened, you know?
It does.
Yeah, and that's the part that really pisses me off. Well, we'll see what happens. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. As I said, online at philhendryshow.com. We're going to be alerting you in the coming days as to when we will be on Drunk History, because I think that's due for airing soon. At least I hope it is. And we'll let you know as well some of the other things that that we've got in store for you. We've got a lot of stuff happened today that I wish I could tell you about, but I can't. And a lot of it has to do with our good friend Bobby, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. And Stephen Bozell going to join us on the Winter Olympics in Russia right now. We've been talking about the security problems, but Steve, we wanted to get you on here to discuss a little bit of the actual competition, who might be doing well, who might not be doing, who's going to win the, you know, the medals and so on. It's good to have you with us, Steve.
Well, thanks, Bill. You know, I thank you for having me on the first hour of the program. We got the Candy Crush Saga situation.
Talk about Candy Crush Saga.
Hold on, bud.
Well, the young man talking about Candy Crush Saga, but Candy Crush Saga is the whole reason why I've been going through this day on a major bummer.
Well, okay, but I don't want to talk about Candy Crush Saga.
No, I understand that, so I put that away. I'm not doing that no more. I put that away. But I wanted to just alert you that the situation existing at my place of work with Cliff Pettigrew and some of the crew members, where I am the butt of jokes. I'm the boss. Okay.
Yeah. Can we talk about the Olympics?
Yes, sir. But
he wanted to talk about something that I thought should be brought to your attention.
Okay. What?
I had an accident at work. And it happens from time to time. It's not unusual. Cliff Pettigrew, who is my crew chief.
What accident?
Well, if you just let me.
He needs to build up to it, Phil.
Cliff Pettigrew, who is my crew chief, then told the other crew members, and they began laughing about it. And I said, "What's so funny?" And they said, "Well, don't you understand about, you know, are you kidding?" I said, "No." And I said, "Are you trying to tell me that this never happened to you?" And they all said, "It's never happened to us." So I right there said they're lying and that Pettigrew led him into this lie in order to mock me. Now, this is coming hot on the heels of the Candy Crush Saga music situation. So I know you got me on to talk about the Olympics, and I do want to talk about the Olympics, but I've had a very bad day. And
all right. You know.
Well, Steve, if you need to talk about it.
Yeah, I do, General.
All right.
Well, what was the accident?
I had an accident in my underwear. Okay.
Okay, meaning you didn't make it to the toilet.
That is correct. It happens. And I had said to the other guy, when Pettigrew said to me, "Why was I walking funny?" I said, "Because I got to get into the bathroom." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I, you know, blankety blank myself." And he starts laughing, and he tells two of the guys, they're all laughing. I said, "All right, Cliff, you know, that's real funny, but quit acting like it's all that unusual." And he said, "Because it is unusual." And I said, I'm directing you now, Cliff, to quit lying and get back to work and quit acting like it's some big deal." He said, "It is. I'd never had that happen to me." And I said, "You're a liar, and you're a filthy liar, and so's the other guy." And we got pretty close to coming to blows over this. I said, "You're a liar." He said, "I'm not lying." I said, "Take the day off."
So you sent this guy home?
You better believe it. And I went in and threw. I had to throw the underwear away. That's how bad it was. And which I'm sure you know, it's happened to you, right? Or anybody there in the studio?
No, it hasn't, you know.
Yeah, it happened to me.
Okay, see, this is what I mean, Phil. I don't find this funny at all.
I'm telling you the God's honest truth. The truth, it's never happened to me. Not since I was a baby.
I'm not talking about when you were a baby. I'm telling you, as a grown adult man, you've never dropped one in your underwear.
No, of course not.
Of course not? All right, I don't know what freak show you were raised in or where you're from, man, but I'm telling you, it's a normal thing. on occasion, you're going to just lose one in your underwear.
I'm married and I have a son, so I've got two males in my family, and neither one of them have ever had this problem.
All right. I don't know about you people. I'm just going to take the whole Phil Hendry Show crew and just push you guys past the realm of, normal human behavior, because you're in the media, so I'm sure you see things differently.
Well, wait. What does my being in the media have to do with the fact that I said I have never crapped in my... That's what we're saying. Crapped in your pants, right?
Yeah, okay. And is that phrase common or is it not common?
What phrase?
The one I did, crap in your pants.
Well, sure it is. Yeah, it is.
And then the reason for that is because it happens a lot.
Well, Steve, this is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
The reason why that phrase occurs frequently is because we use it as a euphemism for being afraid or something like that. We're not literally saying that that's what happened.
General, the respect I have for you, but I've got to respectfully disagree. I don't know what the problem is here. All I'm telling you is, in the world where I live, men, grown men, will crap their pants. And
in your world?
Yeah, in my world. And believe me, Mr. Hendry, when I tell you, my world's a hell of a lot more normal than yours, because I'm out here in the world, in the working man's world, with a construction company,
Does your son crap in his pants?
Does my son? I've never asked him. I never said, hey, son, because I'm assuming, yes, he does. My wife would tell me if he didn't.
Your wife would tell you? Would she tell you if he did,
Why? It's a normal occurrence.
It's a normal occurrence. So how did Cliff Pettigrew...
Oh, Mr. Hendry, don't try to make it sound like I'm some kind of a weird ass. Okay.
No, I want to get back to your son. Did you say that your son does this and your wife would tell you if he didn't?
Yes, because it's a normal thing. If he didn't and we had cause for concern, yes, she'd tell me.
All right, so in other words, if your son did not crap himself in his pants, he that would be a cause for concern and your wife would tell you.
Yes, sir. You seem to not really get this, Mr. Andrew. That makes me fear for... I fear for my sanity because I'm trying to find one reasonable man. They say that hell, just like that man said on that movie one time, hell is the absence of reason, and that's what happens to me every time I talk to people about dropping one in my shorts. It's all of a sudden all reason leaves the room. I'll say, okay, you know how a man, loses it in his briefs. And they'll go, huh? What? Huh? And I'll go, oh, man, not again. It seems like I hit these crowds of people,
Steve, that might be the reason that you're... The reason for that may be because the people are telling the truth, that it doesn't happen.
Okay, well, yeah, you can say what you want.
I think Phil's making a very good point. Maybe it's because it does not happen.
And maybe it's because they're lying through their teeth because they're crawling liars. Maybe that's why.
And why would they be lying?
To make me feel like a fool. That's what I've been telling you. That's been my lifelong battle, to try to get people to quit making me look like a fool. It's been my lifelong battle, and I will fight it till the day I die. But by God, I'm in constant daily battle to keep people from making me look like an ass. And I'm an army of one against the walking dead of making Steve look like an ass. It's an army of ghouls.
Well, you're trying to make it seem like it's a zombie army or something.
Some days it feels like that. Some days I feel like I'm out there on my own, and I've got a machete, I got a pistol, I got a hand grenade. I'm just all by myself, okay? And here comes the army of ghoul. Here comes the army of make Steve look like an ass. And
they're all zombies.
I get it. You guys are...
Well, Steve, you're starting to sound almost... you're not only sounding comical, you're starting to sound... like you got no connection to reality here, man.
Okay, man.
I'd be laughing if I wasn't concerned for you. Every day, you're battling an army of make Steve look like an ass.
Yes, yes, yes. And if you were a little more aware, Mr. Andrew, you might say the same thing about yourself. Every day, you're doing battle against people trying to make you look like a...
Steve, do you want to talk to someone?
You mean a professional on a hotline? No.
All right, Steve Bozell, folks, on you know how it's common for a guy to crap his pants. Well, it happened to him, and guess what? his crew chief laughed at him, and so did the other guys on the crew. They laughed at him, and so Steve was sharing that with us, and it turns out that we don't know what he's talking about either. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We were going to talk Olympics, and...
Yeah, you didn't get to it.
Yeah, so I noticed. All right, so we'll be back with more comment on the Olympics, on the security situation there, on Jay Leno and his retirement, which I don't think we really made... I didn't think we made enough of a comment about that as well. So we'll be back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. So I kind of wanted to get to the, if you don't mind, the Jay Leno thing.
Well, we already talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about it, but we talked about it with Doug, which means that we went from Jay Leno to the Olympics again and the gay bashing in the Olympics. Not that that's not a good topic to talk about.
Well, what more can you say about Jay Leno? Jay Leno is leaving the Tonight Show. Good for him. If I were Jay Leno, I'd be happy to be leaving because the abuse that he took as the host of that show, I thought was over the top. Jay Leno did whatever you're supposed to do when you're what are you looking at?
You know, you just got upset with Bud for doing that.
Yeah, when I did, you said I couldn't do it.
Yeah, because it's you, it's not me.
Well, Margaret, please, that sounded like, it sounded like an animal. It was an animal sound. You're a very lovely woman, and yet what came out of you was something that had barn written all over it.
Is that right? Well, what comes out of you, General?
What comes out of me what?
Has toxic...
It sounds like your voice is cracking. You're so emotional.
I'm not so emotional as not to be able to say it. Whatever comes out of you has toxic waste dump written all over it.
Oh,
shut up, Bud.
Oh! Whoa!
Take it easy, will you? God.
Well, are you doing that?
Thank you, Bud.
You're welcome.
All right, Bud. All bets are off. What comes out of you has got zoo written all over it.
Oh, that wasn't that funny.
I thought it was. I thought it was very funny.
And you didn't like toxic waste dump?
Not particularly. I didn't even think the general's line about barn, but when the general said zoo...
Yeah. Well, what comes out of you...
Don't say it. All right, so Jay Leno, gone from the Tonight Show. Now, I don't know how many hosts they had on that show, and I guess I really don't, at this point, care. Well, yes, I do care. Jimmy Fallon's going to be the new host. Now, Jay Leno, a lot of people knock because he tenaciously held on to the reins of that show for as long as he possibly could. I'm imagining, and I don't know the inside story, I read the book by Bill Carter that was published in the early 90s around Jay Leno taking over The Tonight Show for the first time.
Yes, and that was very bizarre. Some of the stuff in that book was very weird.
Like what?
Well, in the book it said that Jay Leno wanted that job so much that he would call the executives. They were in some executive conference, right, Phil, in Florida?
Yeah, they were in Boca Raton.
Yes, they're in Boca Raton. He knew when one of the executives would be coming back from dinner to the hotel room and would be sitting on the toilet. He also knew the man had a phone in that bathroom, and so the man would be forced to talk to him, and so that's when he timed the phone call.
You're saying that Jay Leno did that?
Yes.
Well, I've got to hand it to the man then, his tactics. And we say in the Army, you know, tactics is an operational art.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Leno wanted to make sure that he had the ear of this guy. And what better time than to call a guy while he's sitting on the john? You know, there's not much he can do. And not only that, there was another part of the book where it seemed to indicate that Jay Leno had hidden somewhere and overheard a conversation taking place, either in real time, well, I shouldn't say real time, either in the room or on the phone. I think it was a phone conversation. But all of it put together meant one thing. He really wanted the job, and so he got the job. Meanwhile, David Letterman was doing his own dance.
Yeah, David Letterman thought he was going to get the job. And David Letterman sat down with the NBC executives and said, gentlemen, this is what I want. This is what I expect. And I think NBC balked, and David Letterman went to CBS after that. He had Mike Ovitz as his representative.
Yeah, Mike Ovitz at that time was the lead guy. I think he was the guy that ran CAA, which was a big, big, heavy agency in the early 90s, and that doesn't exist anymore. And anyway, yeah, Letterman had to come to Jesus with the NBC guys, and they did not want Letterman. They wanted Jay Leno. It was really surprising. I think it was surprising. I was a David Letterman fan, and I think there was a fair number of David Letterman fans that thought he was the natural guy to take the gig because Letterman was doing the late-night show after Carson.
Yes, he was doing later or late night. Late night with David Letterman.
Late night with David Letterman. And when Leno got the gig, it was kind of weird. Now, Joan Rivers was in the running for a while, wasn't she?
Well, Joan Rivers, yeah. See, Danger would know more about this, but Danger wants to talk about kicking the crap out of Russian cops. I don't know if you want to get him on the phone.
Why don't you get Frank on the line?
Yeah, Frank would know.
All right, Mr. Gray.
What other Frank do we know?
Well, you're going to get that guy, and he doesn't know a woman from a man.
He does, General. He just uses the wrong... Frank has the inside scoop on a lot of that.
It does drive me nuts, though, I got to tell you.
What does?
The fact that he's he doesn't know the difference, okay? That drives me nuts.
He does know the difference. He just uses the wrong word.
Yeah, Mr. Arnold, that's with gender confusion. He's not really confused about a gender. He's just confused about the confusion, you know?
No, I don't know. So Bud's got Frank on the phone. Here he is, Frank Gray. Hold on for a minute. Frank, you there?
Yeah, Frank Gray.
Frank, how are you?
Who's this?
Phil Hendry, Frank.
Oh, hey, young man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm better than Custer.
Margaret's here and had a question.
Yeah, Margaret.
Frank, I wanted to ask you about the David Letterman situation. We're talking about Jay Leno, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're talking about Johnny Carson's and the other people that were in the running for it. Joan Rivers?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Joan Rivers, yeah.
Do you know the story?
Well, yeah, I know the story because I knew some of the principals involved in Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers was... one of the top fill-in hosts for Carson. Whenever she went on vacation, he'd fill in. Not every time she went on vacation. I mean, she had a lot of different fill-in guests. But when Johnny went on vacation, she usually would ask, Jay Leno would be one. He would sometimes get angry about that.
Who would?
Joan Rivers, because he thought that he was the permanent fill-in, but there was actually two or three of them.
Yeah, I remember that Joan Rivers, Jay Leno, wasn't Gary Shandling?
No, Gary Shandling did some fill-in on The Tonight Show, but she was never a serious contender. Gary was very funny. I'm still a big fan of hers, but she, no, it was generally Jay Leno or Joan Rivers. Now, Joan Rivers pissed off Johnny when he took that gig at Fox. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember when Joan Rivers took the... She had a late-night show.
That's right. He had a late-night show at Fox. And...
When was this?
In the early 90s.
Yeah, it was in the early 90s, Margaret. I can't believe that he doesn't remember. You don't remember?
No, I don't remember when Joan Rivers was at Fox, no.
Oh, he was at Fox. He was at Fox. And Stephanie Miller, he was at Fox, too. So Stephanie Miller,
would you hold on for a minute, Frank?
You're not going to put me on hold again.
Can I ask a question?
What?
He just called Stephanie Miller he.
Yes.
But I thought that he calls gay people by their right gender.
Obviously, Stephanie Miller's not really gay.
Well, who knows that?
Frank.
Well, what do you mean Frank knows?
Frank's instinct, the gender confusion, detects the right orientation. What?
What are you talking about?
You asked me a question. You better get him back on because he's going to be very suspicious.
Yeah, okay. I just had to check some facts, Frank.
You know, I don't know what it is you're doing, and Margaret won't tell me every time I ask him, but putting me on hold halfway through a phone call really pisses me off, and I want you to stop.
I'm sorry. I really am, Frank. I apologize. I just had to check a couple of things.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so Stephanie Miller, let's talk about her. When was she on Fox?
Well, she was on Fox probably around 90, 91. And she...
Hold on for just a minute.
Oh, you better...
Now, did you hear that?
Yes.
He just called her by her proper gender.
He did, yeah.
Well, what's that mean?
Phil, don't yell at me. I'm not your wife. The way you yell at women.
Excuse me. All right. So what does it mean?
Maybe there needed to be an adjustment of some kind.
Yeah, maybe it was like something was whacked out and you needed to adjust it.
Something was whacked out. Yeah, okay, sorry. We had a technical problem there, Frank.
Don't bullcrap me. Don't you bullcrap me. Now, something's going on, and I want to know what it is. You know that I was... I'll tell you something. I was going to sit down and have my after-meal dump, and then your phone call came in. So I'm sitting here holding it and taking your lousy phone call, okay? And guess what happened? I bumped my head on my way into the can when the phone rang.
Oh, bumped your head, huh?
Yeah, bumped my head, huh? What is that? Is that good news?
No, it's fine. So anyway, let's get back to Stephanie Miller.
What about Stephanie Miller?
So Stephanie Miller did the late night show on Fox?
Yeah, she did the late night show on Fox. And then he didn't stick around. So he just left and took a gig at KFI doing a radio show, and that's what she wound up doing for a number of years.
Who?
Stephanie Miller. Isn't that who you're asking me about?
Yeah. Hold on for a minute.
Oh, you're going to go to...
It sounds like there is... The gyro in his brain is off. He's saying he, she, she, he.
Sorry, Frank. I had to take a call.
You know something? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive over there, and I'm going to kick her ass. I'm talking to my wife, Margaret, now. I'm not even talking to you. Margaret, are you there?
Yes.
I'm going to drive over there and kick her ass. Then I'm going to grab you, take you home, put you in the bedroom, and make violent love to you.
Oh, God, Frank, that's... You bad boy.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Goodbye. Thank you and good night. I'm Frank Gray. And Stephanie Miller, he's a great girl.
So she is straight.
According to the last...
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and tune in. Or tune out, you know. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and Frank Gray on the line with us. So we've been talking about David Letterman and Joan Rivers, you know, and the late night wars. And Frank, you were talking about Joan Rivers. Now, she pissed off Johnny because she took that gig on Fox. Is that right?
Yeah, Joan Rivers took the gig on Fox because it was offered to him. And Joan had wanted to be hosting a late night talk show, and why not? Every time he filled in for Johnny, he was a smash hit. You remember.
Oh, yeah, Joan Rivers was a riot.
Yeah, Joan was great. And I think Johnny felt that Joan might be the one to take over for her. But Joan, when the Fox deal came up, Joan said, this is my shot. And she took the Fox job. Now, when Johnny retired, Joan decided to approach Johnny and asked her if he could take this gig. And she said, no, you stabbed me in the back. You went to Fox. And he said, well, then you can park it up your you-know-what. And they never were, you know, good, decent to each other again. So,
You know, Nikki's here. You remember Nikki?
Oh, yeah. Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I wanted to ask you, because I know Phil said that your boyfriend had had... Did your boyfriend have health problems, or was she...
No.
Is she okay? All right. She's the one that makes toys for a living. Is that right?
He works with computers.
I'm sorry. Who's the toy maker?
There's no toy maker.
Well, wasn't there a woman that was working for you?
Maybe about 12, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, okay. I apologize, Nikki. So how is she?
Very good.
Great. Did you, is your boyfriend, is she a baseball fan?
Not much.
Okay.
More college football.
Oh, she likes football?
Yeah.
And what about your mom?
My mom isn't a fan.
He's not a fan. But,
uh-huh.
But she is.
Yes.
Okay. Who?
My boyfriend.
Yeah. What is she like?
Football.
And
college
what,
football.
What's he like? Who's he married to? He's married to not your father, right?
Right.
He's married to another man?
Nope. She's not married.
Oh, he's not married. Does Does he have a boyfriend?
Nope.
Has he ever wanted a boyfriend?
At times.
Well, I'd like to nominate myself.
All right, thanks a lot, Frank. Thank you very much, Nikki, for...
Wait a minute, I'm not done.
Yes, you are. Thank you. Thanks, Nikki.
You're blowing me off, and
I'm out of here.
Well, you know, Frank is going to be talking to me about how rudely you treated him.
By the way, Frank called Joan Rivers she.
Yeah, I noticed that.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He called Joan Rivers she.
He was talking about Johnny Carson.
No, he wasn't, because he said Joan Rivers, blah, 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 she.
Yes, meaning Johnny Carson.
No.
I didn't hear that, but...
You guys, you know, I'm way ahead of you. Phil, you're sitting there scratching your head and looking all, ooh, gee. Just trust me.
Everybody's belching around here.
I noticed that, and that's why... Oh, baby.
Deepak Chopra's on talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman. Is there anything more irrelevant in this world?
Not much.
Okay. So that is that. Now, the only final thing to talk about here, Margaret, is the pink eye, right?
Well, yes. Bob Costas had pink eye and came on television to do the Olympic wraparound or the opening announcements or whatever they call that.
Yeah, he's doing the hosting, the studio hosting.
Yes, the studio hosting. He came on wearing what he called the Poindexter or the Mr. Peabody glasses.
Yeah, the big horn-rimmed glasses.
The big horn-rimmed glasses, yes. Well, the reason why he had these horn-rimmed glasses on was because he had pink eye in what looked to be his left eye. It was evident, but it was not overly evident. The eye was clearly affected, but I would not say it was disfigured in any way. And I don't think it was all that noticeable. Now, it could very well have been that someone watching would have called in and said, what's wrong with Bob Costas' left eye? But the big deal he made out of this was really typically Costas. Bob Costas is nothing if he's not someone that is continually drawing attention to himself. You remember during the early part of the football season, it was Bob Costas who was talking about the Kansas City Chief, I believe, that had killed the coach and then himself. You remember it was Bob Costas. Well, it was last year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a very tragic, tragic thing having to do with the depression of a football player. And Bob Costas put it on guns. We're finding out now, by the way.
Excuse me, Phil, I'm doing this.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. To what Phil was going to say and what I was going to say, which I wrote down, and I'm sure Phil looked at my notes.
Look at your notes.
Yeah, right. What Phil was going to say...
I didn't look at your notes.
Are you done?
Yes.
What Phil was going to say after looking at my notes...
Margaret, I don't think...
Will you just let it ride, Henry, will you?
Yeah, let it go, man.
Go ahead.
What Phil was going to say was that we know from professional football, the concussions and the like, that abnormal and aberrant behavior takes place in some instances as the result of concussion. So for Bob Costas, in all of his prepubescent stunted Emmanuel Lewis, I don't know. In all of that weirdness, for Bob Costas to say, we need to control guns, he's a sports reporter, and it is not that he doesn't have an opinion, it's not that he doesn't have a valid opinion, but for him to ignore one of the biggest health issues in professional football, the concussion, and go straight for gun control, I thought was irresponsible. It was underdeveloped. It was prepubescent. It was mental midgetry. It was freaky and freakoid. It was an Emmanuel Lewis, bad kidney, weird, weird thing. I'm Margaret Gray.
Wow. Well,
Margaret, that was almost good.
I'm not looking for a review, General.
Sorry.
All right, hold on, General. I will say this, Margaret.
It better be good.
It is. I believe you encapsulated something very well there. Yes, Bob Costas went for the gun excuse and did not mention the possibility of brain damage from concussion, did not mention the aberrant and strange behavior that other players had exhibited, not the least of whom, of course, was Junior Seau and his suicide, which had had occurred not too long before this other event we're talking about. So, yeah, that's a very good point, you know. But Bob Costas, you were going to say tonight, had the pink eye.
Well, yes, he had the pink eye, and then he comes on. See, I said I'm Margaret Gray. I locked out, so.
You can go ahead.
All right, well, I'm picking it up again then, folks.
You can't do that. You locked out saying I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, it's my name, and I'm her, so I can pick up. If it was you, no, you can't.
All right, well, whatever. Go ahead.
Bob Costas then came on and said, oh, look at my Poindexter glasses and my big pink eye, and here's why. And he made a big issue out of pointing out that there was something wrong with his face. Bob, every time we look at you these days, there's something wrong with your face. You're beginning to evidence that very strange look that older but younger looking men have. You're looking as if there's some sort of hormonal problem. You look like a 12-year-old boy with that Methuselah syndrome. You look like...
Take it easy.
Well, here we go again with Take It Easy. Bob Costas, Methuselah syndrome. I'm Margaret Gray.
Phil Hendry Show. See you tomorrow.
Do the bumps of jam in your prime.
God.
Then you...
What is that supposed to mean?
Just, I mean, Bob Costas has Methuselah syndrome.
Yes.
You're bound to fall. You thought they were all...